Sunday, the 14th of September, Rabbi Daniel Rowe, Rosh Hashanah, a day in Gan Eden.
So we'd like to discuss a bit about Rosh Hashanah. There's a number of if Rosh Hashanah on the one hand is fairly straightforward, it's a Yom Hadin. But there's a number of elements of it that are not so easy to grasp exactly where we're meant to be. What we're meant to be doing, what we're meant to be feeling, thinking, etc. And obviously, we're familiar, presumably, with the Torah. The Torah brings a Medrash. Torah Neor Chaim, Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, brings the Medrash that says that the difference between Yisrael and the Ummos, that when the Ummos are Nichnas Sedin, so they wear black and they're all scared, there's a fight there. But Loichein Yisrael, when Yisrael are in Din, so we dress in nice clothes, we cut our nails, we cut our hair, we're all prepared very nicely, which was not the standard practice for a person entering Din. And why? Because Betuchim Shiyasi Lohem Neis. That's the Lashon of the Torah, the Lashon the Medrash is quoting. Betuchim Shiyasi Lohem Neis. We're confident that a miracle is going to be done for us. Now that on the one hand, that sounds, and that's the amazing thing. We enter Rosh Hashanah sure there's going to be an ace. We're sure that we're going to come out okay in Din. We don't go through with the fear that maybe we're not going to come. We're happy. We're confident. Which, first of all, is not so obvious. It's not obvious that we necessarily feel that. But there's something else that's very interesting. There seems to be even a steer in the word. How can you actually say Betuchim Shiyasi Lohem Neis? Right? If it's a neis, if it's something you can rely on, it's not a neis. If it's something that you can't rely on, so how can you be batuach about it? It's a standard question. I don't know if we'll be able to answer the question, but just standard, something to throw out there. Now, the Marshal asks the question, if that's the case, so why don't we just come in coloured clothes, right? To which even more besimcha, again, not necessarily nowadays, but that was always the way of doing things. And the Marshal says, there's the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim, Panachas, the Lashon, the Gemara, there in Rosh Hashanah, about why we don't say Shiur, we don't say Hallel. There's Sefer Chaim, Sefer Mobbis, these books are open, there's a book of life and book of death here. How can you possibly come in coloured clothes? Which is a very, it's like, you almost feel there's a very fine line you're walking on Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, there's Betuchim Shiyasi Lohem Neis, on the other hand, but the Sifrei, there's real, it is for real, it's not for real. And it raises within us, it's probably an issue we always feel every year, and we're not, in Yom Naran, you move between feeling on the one hand, there's a confidence, there isn't a confidence, we're crying in Unasana Toikef, Malochim Yechafezim, Chiluvad Yechazim, do we have any confidence? Then we do have confidence, we don't have confidence, it's a very, and we feel it, if you're in a shul on Rosh Hashanah, so we know there's different, there's some people are crying, some people are smiling, there is a sort of a complex set of in the Pnimis Avodah, it's not so obvious where we are. But I want to also raise one or two other questions, not that we can fully cover them all now, but just to raise the issues that hopefully we'll at least be able to begin a pasach of a mahalach that will allow us with further Ian to understand these things more sharply. In the actual din itself, there's a number of issues that are not so clear either. Right? We know the Gemara says, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tazayin quotes the Gimel Svarim. Right, the three books that are open, the Rambam brings this in the whole Perek Gimel of Hilchos Teshuvah, that the Rambam, in the way the Rambam puts it, is that every din is really our pi the roiv, and if a person's roiv meisim would be either an individual, or a city, or even a country, or the whole world, if roiv gets to the good outweighs the bad, so you'd be miyad nechta mechayim, called tzaddik. And if roiv is nechtav, if roiv outweighs the ra, the roiv of the ra, sorry, outweighs the good, so then you'd be called a rosh, and you'd be nechtav lemoveth, and he brings a raya that tzakas stone ki robo, and the robo ra ta'oret. All the dinim in the Torah are based on a lashon of roiv. That's the Rambam bring. Now the kash on this is very obvious, and we don't see it as the Messias, first of all. That's the obvious kasha, but there's a more difficult kasha, which, in other words, the teretz that the posh teretz that is that because the din isn't done very often. That's only when the din is done. The Rambam itself says it seems to be mashmas the Yom Hamisa or Rosh Hashanah. But the bigger problem, even Rosh Hashanah, we don't see there's a double problem. The mashmaos is that really speaking, if it will be as we understand it as children, that the scales are tipped by numbers, which the Rambam Beferish says is not. Whatever cheshbon's used, it's tipped somehow one way or the other way. So and Yom Kippur's really only for the Beinanim, who end up being exactly suspended. So we'd wonder what is the statistical possibility of ever having a real Beinanim. Let's see that together. How many people can come up with exactly the same number of mitzvahs and aveiros? Every second that we're conscious, we're either doing mitzvahs or aveiros, right? There's sheish mitzvahs, tamidius, the brought in the beginning of the Baal Ochav in the Shavit Hashem Negi Tomis. You're either Makayim or not every single second we're alive, right? There's infinite, with no moment of our life where we're not doing mitzvahs or aveiros. So you try and tally up a score at the end of a year, and the statistical possibility that you'll be even is nil. There probably was never a human being that's got the exact same number of mitzvahs and aveiros in a year. It's impossible. So what do we need to bother with Yom Kippur for? Or let's flip it around the other way. Why don't people just drop dead on Rosh Hashanah or walk out there as tzaddikim nechem lechem? Right? So it's obvious this din is a different type of din, and the Rambam himself says it's not lefi, the number, but it's the kashoika, the mishkal, it can only take place, keldeot, only Hashem can do the cheshbon. But still, what is this about? And of course, it becomes even more complicated. The Tosfos Daf Zayin there says, I think it's fairly famous Tosfos, but is that the din really anyway is only for Olam Haba, which answers our kashas of why we don't see things happening in Olam Hazeh, but it makes Rosh Hashanah seem a lot less, we're going to have a lot more Rosh Hashanahs and Yom Kippurs between now and Yom Hashem will have Adnei Ava Estrim, so we need to, the only reason we fight it now is because maybe this will be our last year, maybe, but we want to understand a little more. One more area which I want to really ask about as well before trying to move towards, or two more before trying to move towards the amicus that we're trying to get to, is that the Gemara also then, and Yud Zayin on the base, really the Hemshech of the Sugya when it goes to the Yud Gimel Midas, and the Gemara comes up with a very strange, again a question we always feel. On the one hand, we stand there in Yom Kippur as if this is it, the whole Gzah Din for everything is going to be done today, or at least between these Thursday made Shuva. And yet, that raises, if the din is complete, then so what is the rest of the year for? You know, what's good to do shuvah licensing the rest of the year? The man of shach, our din's been nikba already. If it's din for Olam Haba, it's already been decided. So what good does the rest of the year do? What's the point of, you know, of Yud Aleph Elul and Yud Aleph Tishrei? So what is the point of ask it differently? Lamayin askimin, if we suddenly do tshuva later, we have the whole Maseches Tanis, if the rain isn't coming, so you know, yeah, the Tzomus and the Gedolim would call out in the middle of the city and say, you know, that it wasn't because of Tehillim that the Nineveh was saved, it was because of tshuva, so we've got to do tshuva, so that could be mahapach the din. How can it be mahapach the din if the din is already nikva? So the Gemara answers, it says that it says Kate has this din work. How she saw Rishon Gemurim Rosh Hashanah. Let's say you saw Rishon completely Rishon Gemurim, which the fee everything we learned till now should be Nechtomin Miyad to Moves and difficult in a Paschal and Rishon Muatim. And so they got a din. There's going to be very little rainfall this year. But then they do Tshuva. So then you can't add rain, because it's already shekvah nigzer gzeira. Ela kodesh baruch moridim bezman and ala oretz tzvicha lehem. Hakoyl of yaret itim etc. So, in other words, what does Hashem do? There's only a small amount of aggregate rainfall, but He can make it all land in exactly the right places and exactly the right time. The fields that need it. It won't land in the cities. It will land in the sade, and this sade needs it here. We'll get it here. This amount. The perfect drip system. The raindrops will land bang on each side. And the same the Gemara comes down the other way around. If we were good on Rosh Hashanah, there was a gzadin on massive amounts of rainfall, but Chas Shalom, we saw not so good during the year, so we'll go all over the place in the wrong places, the wrong times, it will destroy the crops. Which makes us wonder, this seems to be the pattern over here, the din of Rosh Hashanah seems, Chas Shalom say it, seems trivial. Who cares what the aggregate rainfall of the year is, apart from a meteorologist? Who cares? At the end of the year, they'll sit in a university somewhere and study how much what Rosh Hashanah was all about. We care where it lands, right? We care whether there'll be food that year, whether there won't be food that year. Right? That's what we care. So what difference does the din of Rosh Hashanah make? So to understand this, we need to really go into what Rosh Hashanah is about. And what Rosh Hashanah is about, like every other Moed, is every Moed is really a commemoration. Well, it's not a commemoration, we understand, as we said here many times before, it's much more than a commemoration. It's actually reliving whatever the first instance of this was. There is the first instance of it actually is a gilui of what the day itself is. But what's interesting is that when we look at the Seder Olam, which gives us the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain there in Meshchodesh Elul for 40 days, came down on Yom Kippur, and that's why Yom Kippur is always a part of our calendar, because it's the Gilui of Kapara. You see, we're so used to think of Aseret Yemei Teshuva as a unit. The Seder Olam, conspicuous in its absence, is Rosh Hashanah. It's almost like Rosh Hashanah was an irrelevant part. They were up there in the mountain. Rosh Hashanah was just another one of the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was there. The Kapara for doing this 40-day process, where's Rosh Hashanah? And in fact, if we look, we try to work out, so we'd say yes, but Rosh Hashanah commemorates something different. Rosh Hashanah commemorates the Shesh Yemei Bereishis, the day when Adam Rishon was created, the sixth day of Maisa Bereishis. What's difficult about that is even that's not so poshut. Because earlier in Rosh Hashanah, at the end of Yud Beis, on the base of the day of Yud Aleph, we have the sugya of the Machlokes of Eliezer of Yeshua, it's really Machlokes in Kala Torah Kula, of when the beginning really was. Rav Eliezer says it's in Tishri, and Rabbi Yeshua says in Nisan. So at best we have a Machlokes Tanayim, and it seems on that Yud Beis that actually we Paskin, Naskamin is La'alocha, Tkufa is working out the sun, we actually Paskin, Rabbi Yeshua, we Paskin that really speaking, the Rosh Hashanah was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it seems like our Rosh Hashanah is becoming more and more amorphous or untangible here. In fact, Tosfos deals with this problem with Daf Zayin in Bava Basra. And Tosfos, because there are halachos that seems we do go there from Tishri. We of course have this theory, we begin a year in Rosh Hashanah, but actually the month of the year only starts in Nisan, so we're waiting for 6 months of the year to actually begin. And Tosfos says, Tosfos opposite to the Nicodam right at the bottom of the Tosfos there, and Tosfos says, and this is the Lashon, let me just find it too quickly, Tosfos says, the Ikkar Meima, the Betishri Allah b'machshav alivrois, that it arose in the mind of Hashem to create the world, the Lo Nivra ad Nisan, but it wasn't created till Nisan. So now we're really stuck, you know, and it makes, so what's this mean? That's one. What does that mean, Olav Machshava? This, by the way, we always see. Olav Machshava is always a Loshan of a din. Rashi says it right in the beginning of the Torah, on the first Pasuk, why use the name Elohim and not Hashem? Because Mitchila Olav Machshava, the Aliyah Machshava, the original plan, it rose in Hashem's mind, was to be buried b'midas adin, with din. Rosh Lai's time, he sees it doesn't work. So Ahmad Vashitavim Amidus Arachamim say brought him Midus Arachamim, that's why later in the next paragraph it says, again, Aliyah B'machshava seems to be very oriented towards Din. It seems to be a very parallel process. This Aliyah B'machshava Din was an Aliyah B'machshava arose in God's mind to create the world in Tishri. By the way, whenever, you'll see this very often, it's not really the Nidin now, but just to be aware of it, you'll meet this again and again and again. Whenever Hashem refers to the pure force of Din, he almost always refers to an Aliyah B'machshava, an arriving in his mind. We see it when Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and is Moshe. How can it be that Rabbi Akiva, Zu Torah V'Zu Schara, here's Rabbi Akiva, you see his flesh being sent across the markets of Rome. This is Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu sits in the back of his car and can't understand. He says, and Hashem turns to him, Shtoik Kachal B'machshava, this is how it arose in my mind. Interesting. But be that as it may, it created for us, that doesn't really help us, because not only is Rosh Hashanah not there in the 40 days when Moshe Rabbeinu was getting the original Kapara, but Rosh Hashanah wasn't even there in Maaseh Bereishis. The most you can call it is an original Aliyah B'machshava, some kind of arising in Hashem's thoughts. What does that mean? We're dealing with a virtual day that never really existed. What's it mean? What's Pshat in this? And of course the Pshat is that an Aliyah B'machshava of Hashem, unlike us thinking of an idea, it's real. When the Rabbi Sholem puts something in his mind, as it were, there's something real. It may not be the world we're feeling right over here, the right down the lowest level, but there's something very real that's being created. And it's really based on the Gemara in Chagiga. We have a bit short time, I will get to it inside. But the Gemara in Chagiga, it comes up in the Gemara in Chagiga, and the Gemara in Chagiga discusses what you can be Dorish, can't be Dorish, you can only really be Dorish really history, you can't be Dorish anything before then, and then it would. Then the Gemara comes up with a Havamina, you'd think therefore you can't be Dorish about the Shesh Yemei Bereishis, you can, But what comes out from the Gemara over there is that really speaking, the Sheshem Bereshis are different. On the one hand, they're not a part of history. That's the Havam Minah, that therefore you can't be Dorish them. But they're not really before either. The before, the Ein Dorish and what was before, doesn't cover the Sheshem Bereshis. Sheshem Bereshis have a completely different Metzias to everything else that ever was. They are neither a part of the world of time of history, nor are they before. They are the transitional things that bring Bereshit into place. They are the Yimei Bereshit. They are the closest, they are the days where things were coming into fruition. And I'll explain this a little bit. I'll show you a few riyas and chazal to what we're saying, but I'll try to explain it a little bit. The best, you know, there's the Targum Yonason that says it on the Gan Be'eden Mikedem. Right, the reference to Gan Eden is a Gan in Eden Mikedem. So we understand Mikedem to the east. But the Targum Yonason says no, it means before, but before, not in the sense of before chronologically, but before all of the world, before all of history, before everything. What does that mean? What it means is really like this. What it means is that, all the way to the Tanchum and Parashat B'Kudei says, it's almost the Recham, it's the womb of the world. It means that if you would go back with modern cosmology and try to find the Sheshim Bereshis, you won't find them. They don't exist in our realm. You couldn't see them. You can go back and try to find that day when it was Toyu Vavoyu V'Choshechav. You won't see any of that. If you took the greatest cosmologist of the world and tried to go back and really try, you'll never be able to replicate this. Those days don't belong to the bits of history and cosmology. It's not what we're dealing with. It's almost like to bring a moshel. You know, if a person is sitting there in a laboratory building a simulated world. So you're sitting outside of that world and you're building this world. You're building this world. You're not inside that world. You're building this world. And everything you're doing, you say, let's give this world let's make this world a few million years of a history over here. Okay, bang. Let's put in now this koyach and this koyach and this koyach and this koyach. Let's see what happens if we do this. And those are like the sheshes and mebereshes. It's the world of the aliyah b'machshava. It's the world of Gan Eden. It's a womb, it's a racham, it's a lashon also in the Pirkei Avot. It's a womb of reality. Adam is placed in this world that is not in the world as we experience it at all. The Ramban says there are actually two Gan Edens. There is a physical outer Gan Eden, but the Ikka Gan Eden is the Panimius. The Ramchal says even that physical one is not something we'd recognize today as anything we could call physical. This Gan Eden is not a world that you can pick up in this place. It's not something that happened in our history. And that's the Gemara's Chagig. Is it Bas Ein Goshem? Is it not? It's something that belongs. It happened. But not a place you could feel right down here. That's what I have. I mean, it's Ein Goshem. It belongs to Ein Goshem. The Maskon is yes, but it really happened. It is a part of what we can. What's before then, we can't touch. But that means to say something incredible. It means to say that Gan Eden, the day that we touch, the Rosh Hashanah, where we revisit that sixth day of Maisa Bereshis, the day when Adam is Nivra. We're revisiting that laboratory, the womb of the world. We're revisiting that laboratory. We're revisiting that place that is outside of all of this. And we're revisiting this, re-examining and re-looking at the programming that brought us into reality. And what that means is that this day, in a sense, this is the Aliyah B'Machshava. We are walking back into the Aliyah B'Machshava, back into the plan. This day links to that Chodesh Tishri. The Metzias, when Adam was thrown out of Gan Eden, he arrived instantly in Nisan. But in our calendar, the only day that provides us with a portal into that time, the only day that allows us to transcend the world that we know and go into the programming that programs everything, is Rosh Hashanah. That's the only day. And what Rosh Hashanah therefore does is allows us, it is a moyed that doesn't occur in history anywhere. It is a moyed that you can't pick up when you scan human history from beginning to end. You won't even find Adam there. If you go back in time and meet Adam, you'll see him for the first time on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But every Rosh Chodesh Tishri, every Rosh Hashanah is a day when you're stepping outside of the world, back into Gan Eden itself. Back into the programming, you're coming out of the simulated world, back into the inner, back into the place where they're programming everything. And what's happening there is a din so powerful that what's actually happening is we're programming the entire year, if you like. We're programming what Adam is. We're literally going back into the recreation of Adam. The Yerushalmi is Dorish Shesafirish, and the Vastisem Oila, instead of Ikravdom, instead of bring a carbon, you're making, Starshim the Yerushalmi, you're making yourself on Rosh Hashanah. You're rebuilding Adam. You're rebuilding the Adam that is you. Every time we come to Rosh Hashanah, we're back in the laboratory, as it were, back in that embryonic self. And what we're trying to do is literally rebuild who we are for the year. And therefore building the year that's going to be. This, by the way, is why on Rosh Hashanah we behave totally differently to any other day of the year. On any other day of the year, if you had a meal with simonim, you'd have to be choshesh, whether this is called nichosh, what is it, like a joke? You eat a nice fruit, so therefore this should somehow change dinner. What does it, you think, what is this? It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Brought in this is the Gemara and Krisus, right? So it's Chazali tell us this. And the answer is because Lemoshel, back in the womb, back in the Rechem, the moment of Herayon, the things that are occurring there, every little thing that Chas Shalom goes wrong or Mitzvah goes right, every little tiny detail that's happening, every molecule that's being moved out of place in that moment, everything that is happening would have impact across everything. The genetic structure that's being built is not being built for now. It's a model of everything that ever will be. It's a model of all the potential that's been given to this child that can come into the world. On Rosh Hashanah, every second, every taste, every minuscule detail that's occurring in the day is laying a part of the genetic structure of what the year ahead is going to be. It's a totally different day. We're literally creating what hasn't yet been. We're literally focused on not on what we did, but on Metzias itself. And this is why Rosh Hashanah, of course, we don't deal with specific actions. That we wait for the Thursday to make sure, but we wait for the Yom Kippur to deal with that. On Rosh Hashanah, you see what we deal with is a much, much deeper, more powerful question. And this is now beginning to answer what we asked before. On Rosh Hashanah, we are face to face with the question of whether we should be alive in the world at all. Whether we should exist at all. Our existence is nothing. We're in the laboratory right now, and we don't yet exist. We don't exist. And on Rosh Hashanah, what's happening is that we're literally being asked, should we exist? On the Yom HaDin, we're being questioned, what right do we have to exist? And there's no answer we can actually give to that question. Once we're inside this world and things are flowing, then we can say we've done mitzvahs, and Hashem, you promised us if we do mitzvahs, we've got this course, that course. But if you're going back to the core of my separations itself, and you're saying to Hashem, you've got to create me, and Hashem starts to say, why do I have to create you? Because I'm going to do mitzvahs, so what? I need your mitzvahs. The harsh din itself asks a question we can't answer. We can't give a justification. We can't say we've done many mitzvahs. We can't even say we're going to do tshuva. It's irrelevant. That's none of that machayev of Rabbeinu Shalom to create us. None of that machayev that we should be here. None of that force Hashem to have to create us for the year ahead. The din question on Rosh Hashanah, going back to my separation itself, is a question that we can't actually answer. And in the end, there's only one answer. There's only one reason we ultimately exist. And that's the Rabbeinu Shalom wants it. Ritzono Yisborach. That's it. The only engine that brings us into existence every year, every time we revisit that Gan Eden, is the Ritzono Hashem. That's it.
So what difference does it make if it's the balance equally?
So now comes the question. The question of the scales is a very simple question. You see, the extent to which we tap into that Ratzon Hashem, the extent to which we are plugged into Ritzono Yisborach on Rosh Hashanah, the extent to which we're mamlechim, and this is our avodah, the extent to which we say, I'm living for what you're living for, Hashem. You want me to be in the world. You want me to be Mekadosh Shem Chabolim. You want Kolonikah B'Shmi V'Lechavodi Barasiv Yatzativ Afar Sisiv. That's what I want. The extent to which we say that, the extent to which we plug into that, is the extent to which we really build ourselves. And the extent to which we walk out and say, well, actually, I don't know if that's what I really want. I just prefer to have a nice fun in this world, you know, and whatever else it may be, dangle around for another year, eating food and going on holiday. But the extent to which I'm in it for me, we can't plug in. There's no justification for our existence. The scales of Rosh Hashanah, and if we had more time, I'd bring Uriah for this. The Moshe Beit has a very powerful Uriah. The scales of Rosh Hashanah are not a scale of the minion of mitzvahs and aveiros. That's the Pharisee in the Rambam. It's not a scale of an amount. It's a scale of how much those mitzvahs and aveiros express who we are. The din of Rosh Hashanah is not a din on what we did. It's a din on who are we. if we could be machriya so fundamentally and so deeply that we are kelim for avodas Hashem and that's all we are, and there's nothing else there, then we will be miyad nechtam in the chayim. If we would chashon be machriya that we have nothing to do with the Rebbein Shalom, that's an irrelevant part of the chashon, we'd be miyad nechtam in the mavet. I explain in a second what the chayim and mavet are. Of course, we'll soon see in a second what this really means. But the point is that most people come out somewhere in between. Not really machriya one way or the other. That's called a beinoni. There's many darugas of beinoni, you see. But most people really live a little bit for one and a little bit for the other. We're not 100% committed to chayim, and we're not 100% committed to mavet. And we come out of Gan Eden like other Marishan. Sort of yes, sort of no. Was the tshuva yes, avera and tshuva, but not enough tshuva. We sort of, that's how we come out of Gan Eden every year. But of course, the extent to which, that doesn't mean our avodah is a waste of time, the extent to which we're pushing, built, and this I explained. Now, this is what Tosfos means. There's a Rambam in Parak Tes of Hilchos Teshuva, and he says as follows, and it's again a point that we're totally familiar with, that all the brachas and all the kodos of the Torah, you see, are not there to give us immediate reward and punishment. They're there for one thing only. They're there to give us how much potential we will have. The uba b'yerach imay, the child in the womb, the us in Gan Eden, all we're creating is the koyach we'll have, is the potential we'll have, is how much we'll have. If the genes come out good, wow, this child has the potential to change the planet, right? To bring Yimai Samashiach, to be the Mashiach himself. If this child comes out without that, if we come out in the year weakened and withered, then our ability to do things in this world is weakened and withered. And here comes the critical point of the rainfall. Of what Tosfos means for Olam Haba. What's being decided on Rosh Hashanah is how much potential we're going to be given, what Madrega we could possibly reach that year, what our power and potential can be, how much life force there will be within us, how much ability we will have to plug into Kvod Shamayim, how high we can get to that year, how much rainfall there will be, how much Koyach exists, how much potential. What we do with that potential will be up to us during the year. That's not Nechtam on Rosh Hashanah. What Rosh Hashanah has been created is the very tzura of who we are, the very fundamental, the very deepest questions, that's the Chaim and Mavis that's been given to us. It is possible to come out of this, Miyad Nechtam and Chaim, with so much that we're plugged. It is possible to come out with Mavis. Physically, we'll be walking around the world, but there's no real potential left. Most people have something in between. But you see, it makes a world of difference how much rain there is on aggregate. It makes a world of difference. Okay, for an average farmer, it won't matter because they don't want to produce a certain amount anyway. They're not thinking about money. But in theory, if you wanted to grow and grow and grow the crops of the world, whoa, if you've got that din of Rosh Hashanah, there's lots of rain. We're not growing crops of the world, we're growing ourselves for the year. The potential madrega you can reach, the recreation of who you can become, that's what takes place in Gan Eden when we revisit it every year. That's what's happening. And so Rosh Hashanah becomes this incredible day. There's a betuchim shi'asu lehem neis. There is, because what's the betuchim shi'asu lehem neis? The pachad of Rosh Hashanah is a pachad of standing face to face with a din that we can't win. We can't justify our existence. But at the same time, there's a simcha of the recognition that Hashem wants my existence. I'm a gilui of the rotzon Hashem. But at the same time, after that, we have to also realize that there's still svarim nechtam, the extent to which I can plug into that and really live for that, and really mean the extent to which that's me. That's the extent to which I can come out nechtam in l'chaim, or at least in Yitzhak nechtam in l'chaim. That's the extent to which we can do it. Then the pagamim that still are, so we'll have to get rid of the averas over the 30 made shiva. But therefore, the point is like this: is that therefore the aravoda now in Elul, as Chodesh Elul, as we're building up to this Rosh Hashanah, is to really is the ani ledoidi vedoidi li, is to get ourselves into the mindset of to what extent is our life be'etzem being lived for Rots and Hashem. To what extent can we turn, when Rebbeinu Shlomo calls out on that same day of Gan Eden, Ayeka, to what extent we can answer, Hineni, yes, we're here for you, Rebbeinu Shlomo, we only live for what you want. To the extent to which we can do that is the extent to which we granted the Yecholes of the year, and the extent to which we granted the Yecholes of the year is the extent to which we can achieve this year. And therefore, yes, what we'll do with that, we'll still have to play itself out during the year, but the possibilities of the year, the power of the year, whether this can be the year that's the Shnas HaGeulah, that ultimately is being decided by us. What madrigas we can reach in the Mirza Hashem, Klal Yisrael can reach this year, that's what's being decided by us. And that day is the most awesome day for the Pacha V'Noyah V'Oyam. It's the day that is the most tremendous Simcha, as that tension is real. And in Mirza Hashem we should be Zoicha Badin, we should be Zoicha in Rosh Hashanah, we should be Zoicha to walk out there and build in the Gan Eden, the Gan Be'eden, the Kedem, a tzura of ourselves, of Klal Yisrael, of a world that's mamash roi, the Kabbal Pnei Shechina, that in Mirza Hashem we should be Zoicha to a ksiva v'chassima tov v'asol Klal Yisrael.